Good to get the Word of God into your heart, and once again, we come together for that very reason, because we learn and we grow and we become stronger and never give up. Never give up the faith walk. Always continue and never give up believing that this church is a powerful, prosperous, growing church, and you'll see what we're looking at tonight is what we want everyone to have. What does it mean to have a prospering soul is what we're looking at tonight. So let's open in prayer as we look at this. Father, we ask tonight that you speak to our hearts and show us from your word exactly what we need to know about this area of prosperity in our soul, in our inner man. And we praise you for, Lord, your word, which is so clear to us and so strong, and we will commit ourselves to obeying that and to opening ourselves up to your Spirit's leading in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. The Bible is very clear that our soul must prosper for there to be the manifestation of good things in our life. If you have a look at 3 John 2, we've looked at this many times before and even commented on it, but tonight I want to especially talk about this area, because I think when you get hold of this area, then it will change the things in the physical, both around you and also in your own life as well and in your own body, and it will help you tremendously if you get hold of this. So 3 John verse 2, and I'll also read verse 3. Verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." Now we know what the truth is. Jesus said it in John 17, verse 17. He said, "Thy word is truth." And that truth overrides anything which is contradictory to it. And so if something of the world says, that's wrong, and it contradicts with the word of God, then you've got to say, no, the world is wrong and the word of God is right. And that's the way we've got to approach it. So verse 2 is very clear, and this is what John was desiring greatly. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." So that word wish is not just I wish upon a star sort of thing. It's not a magical wish. That wish means desire strongly. And so when he says, "I wish above all things," he says, "I desire strongly above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." So do you think it's important in the eyes of God for people to prosper and be in health? Well, it says above all things. So in God's eyes, it is very important. In fact, it's above all things important that we prosper and be in health. And I think this is something to get hold of, because there's been a lot of people who have just accepted the opposite of prosperity in their life, who've just accepted the opposite of health. But we learnt last Sunday that we preach a full gospel here, which is that what was purchased on the cross was not just your salvation from going to hell and going to heaven, but also so that you can live victoriously on the earth here now. And that's why he says, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." He's got a foundation in Christ and the salvation. "By the stripes of Jesus ye were healed," for example. And and we know that he took our sins in his body on the tree. He bare our sins. And that we may be forgiven, that we may be free from living a life of sin like those that are servants of sin. So we see, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." And then he connects it, "even as thy soul prospereth." In other words,
it's not a coincidence if you're going to prosper and be in health. There's no coincidence to that. There is a connection, and it's a connection to your soul. And your soul is a part of your inner man. In fact, if you do a study in the Word of God, you'll see that the soul is your mind, will, and emotions part of you. And the soul is something that has to prosper if you want to live victoriously in this life as a Christian. And it's very easy to see that, because if you look at how the world thinks and how the world operates, they don't go to God for their prosperity. They don't go to God for their healing, but they go to other sources constantly. Whereas we must be people that prosper in the inner man first of all, so that we are always constantly looking unto, as the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that will cause the manifestation of these things, prosperity and health, but it's got to be even as thy soul prospereth. Now, the soul is your mind, will, and emotions, so therefore you can't be thinking on all the wrong things, and you can't be meditating on all the wrong things. It has to be the Word of God. It has to be the truth. And that's why he says in verse 3, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is where? In thee." So the truth has to be in you. We said before, thy word is truth. That's what Jesus said in John 17:17. Thy word is truth. So the truth has to be in you. We won't turn to it, but we know Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." So it has to get in there. It has to get in there and has to stay in there so that there's an operating in the truth. That's why it says, verse 3, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." So they walked in the truth of God. They walked by faith, obviously, because faith pleases God. And so the truth has to come into your inner man, has to come into and renew and change your mind so that you're not thinking along the lines of the world. And so it's important for us to be thinking, well, what does the Lord say about prosperity? What does the Lord say about healing and health? And so that's what we put into our heart and mind so that we start to understand about this. So just think that we must be mindful of what God has done and what he has provided, and not allow ourselves to be guided and filled with the thoughts of the world. And that's why we constantly must have the thoughts of God coming into our hearts, which is the truth. If you look at Romans 10 verse 8, another verse we've looked at many times, but you want to see the connection here. We want to see the connection that if the truth is in you and you walk according to the truth, then your soul is going to be prospering, and then that will manifest in prosperity and health in your life. And if you look at Romans 10 verse 8, notice what it says there. It says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." So you can see that these people have exposed themselves to the word of faith, not the word of doubt. The world's full of the word of doubt. The word of faith, they expose themselves to that. And what happens? It gets in them. It gets in them. It gets in their heart and it gets in their mouth. So what does God want us to do? He wants to have the word of God in our heart and in our mouth. Very important. It's not just in one place, is it? It's got to be in your heart. And that's where the believing happens, and where you're thinking on the word and you're studying the word, and the word is made a great reality to you, and it'll come naturally out of, or more like, or spiritually, it'll come out of your mouth as a flow. Because what does the word say? out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So the word of faith, you get it into your heart, and then it will come out of your mouth and it will manifest in your life. Because the Bible, Jesus said, you'll have whatsoever you say, and death and life is in the power of the tongue. This is very important. So we can't afford to be people that are filled with words and thoughts of death or sickness or lack or no victory in Christ, all that type of thing. But we must be people that go beyond that and say, well, what does the Word of God say about this? And so therefore, on that basis, what should I be speaking? What should I be thinking? How should I be going? Look at Psalm 103, verses 1 to 6. And remembering that we're talking about a prospering soul. So a prospering soul is not going to be a forgetful soul. It's not going to be a soul that does not think on the Lord every day, does not partake of the word every day, does not pray. But it has to be, as we see here, and you can see that the psalmist is reminding his soul, which is your mind, will and emotions. And you can see that when you look at this, that that's exactly what it is. He says in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So your soul must be within you. And he's instructing his soul with his words, isn't he? He's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So your soul must be capable of remembering the Lord's benefits. And so a prospering soul will remember the Lord's benefits, not just on a Sunday when you're reminded through the preaching, or on a Tuesday when you're being taught the word, but you remember it every day because it's a part of you. Isn't that what we read in 3 John 3? The truth that is in them? Isn't that what we read in Romans 10 verse 8? That the word is nigh thee or very close to you, even in thy mouth and in thy heart? And that's what we emphasise here over and over about the word getting into you, because we want everyone here to have a prospering soul and therefore have a manifestation of victory in their lives. So let's start from verse 1 again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So that must be a prospering heart or a prospering soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And notice he's, at the end there he's got a colon. So that colon means a list is following, or an important idea connected to benefits is following. And you see that list is from verse 3 onwards. It says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. So there's forgiveness, isn't there? We shouldn't be forgetting that the Lord forgives our iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. You might say, well, I've got these symptoms of a disease. What you should say, well, is thank you, Lord, you heal all my diseases. By the stripes of Jesus I was healed. And do what Jesus did. He spoke to the fever. Say, in the name of Jesus, I speak to you, fever, I speak to you, disease. Get out of my life in Jesus' name. It sounds alien. It sounds strange to the worldly mind, but to the godly, righteous mind, this is the way God wants us to operate. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. And we know the scripture says that the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So that's where your prosperity is. My life is just full of destruction and nothing's going to help it. No, we want to put the words of God into our mouth. We should say, thank you, Lord. That storm came, but I'm not allowing that to dictate my life. I allow the word of God to dictate my life, and it says that I'm redeemed. My life is redeemed from destruction. Praise the Lord. That's something to shout about. And it says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Well, praise the Lord. You know, you have a look in for example, the Gospels and what Jesus was doing. and people were crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." What were they talking about? "Have mercy upon me and heal me." They were talking about healing. So God's mercy is shown through healing and health and strength, praise the Lord. So we see here loving kindness. Verse 5, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." It's not good, even when you're getting older, to say everything's falling apart. That's not the right way. What you should be saying is, "Thank you, Lord, that I am going to be strong right to the day of my death. Praise the Lord. And I know I have a mission on earth, and that mission I need to be able to do. And I thank you that my youth is renewed like the eagles." See, this is, as I said, foreign to the worldly mind, but it shouldn't be foreign to us because it's of the Word. And you put the Word into your heart and good things will start to come out of your mouth, praise the Lord. So that's a prospering soul. Prospering soul will correspond to what John was saying in 3 John 2, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." We see here in Psalm 103, he's talking about blessing the Lord and forgetting not his benefits and making sure that it's such a part of you, it's such a part of you that you're walking in it and you're talking it, and people will see the difference as you walk and talk it. They'll say, "Well, that person's not talking like the world at all, talking victory in Christ," and so on. Praise God. Have a look at Psalm 40, verse 16 as well. Go back a little bit to Psalm 40, verse 16. And I was thinking about this particularly after what I was preaching on Sunday, which is about What Do You Value, Part 3. We looked at that. And I was talking specifically about loving God's salvation and what is in salvation. Well, we saw in Psalm 103, and we can see in many other scriptures, that salvation covers the whole man. Okay, salvation covers the whole man. And we have to see that, because where do we get our victory from? Where do we get our faith from? Where do we get anything from God but through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done? Praise the Lord. You cannot have anything in God unless you go through the door. And Jesus said, "I am the door." And he said, "You cannot see the kingdom of God except you be born again." And all the riches in the kingdom of God is available once we go through the door. Now, some people, they never avail much of the riches of the kingdom of God because A, they never get taught it. B, they might not even believe it. And C, they allow it to go in one ear and out the other. I pray that's not us at all. And what I want here is for everyone in this church to grow spiritually and stronger until you just can't help but give out the Word of God and to speak the Word and to pray and let out a praise to the Lord. So it's just something that's a part of you. And this is what a prospering soul is all about. It's a part of you. So Psalm 40, verse 16, says, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let the Lord be magnified." And I think we've got to get a few things out of this. There's some very, very important things we can get out of this. First of all, let all those that seek thee... Are we seeking God? We seeking God even in the little things? "Seek thee, rejoice and be glad in thee." Be glad in God. Rejoice and be glad in God. Rejoice. You know, if you were just to look at the television or listen to the radio, there's not much to rejoice about, is there? There's lots of negativity coming out, and so what we have to do as believers is not focus on that, but allow our minds and our hearts to focus on what God has provided and what do we value. Now, we talked about valuing Christ as precious, his blood as precious. And it says here, let such as love thy salvation. So we've got to love God's salvation. That's a heart attitude. That's a heart. You love his salvation. You love God's salvation. You love it because you know the price that was paid for that for you. And you don't want to leave anything out that's in that salvation. And so you will do anything to make sure that your soul is prospering, because you know that a victorious life on this earth is going to be a witness for Christ. Praise the Lord. And notice what it says here. If you love God's salvation, you're going to be continually saying. Remember what we read before in Romans 10 verse 8, that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So we have to continually say, let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord, think about that. Let the Lord be magnified here. Not the devil. And so let's not allow our words to concentrate on defeat or worry or fear, but concentrate on the Lord and his salvation and his deliverance and his strength. He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my refuge. Let the Lord be magnified. That's the way we have to speak continually if we love God's salvation. And I pray that you're seeing tonight, well, what is a prospering soul, and how does it connect to prosperity and health, as we saw before? Have a look at Proverbs 14, verse 30. Proverbs 14, verse 30. Now, Proverbs 14, verse 30 says here, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. And let me concentrate on that first part there. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. Now, if we say there's such a thing as a sound heart, there's also such a thing as an unsound heart. If we say there's such a thing as a prospering soul, there's also such a thing as a soul that's not prospering. Okay? And the Bible also talks about snares in people's souls and things like that. We have to be people that have a sound heart. And I believe that if you're to have a sound heart, then you cannot be a person who's continually meditating and thinking upon the ways of the world and thinking almost longingly, some people think almost longingly about how the world has such wonderful things. No, you must be people that see, well, God's word is like a treasure. God's salvation I love. Christ is precious to me. And his blood is precious. And that's the treasure. That's the treasure that's over and above the worldly things. And that's when your soul is prospering, that's when you can have the true godly prosperity, where you can be a channel to be able to give and so on. And you'll have health in your life as well. Notice it says a sound heart is the life of the flesh. Does that mean that there is a connection between your heart, which is your spirit and soul, and your flesh? Well, it says it very clearly, doesn't it? A sound heart is the life of the flesh. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. But what's the opposite? You see in the next part of the verse, in verse 30, but envy, which is a part of people's thinking processes, envy is the rottenness of the bones. So is there a connection between having an unsound heart and the flesh, or the bones in this case? Yes, there's a connection between the heart and the physical. There is no doubt about it. The scripture is over and over clear that there is a connection between the heart and the physical. So what you have to get is make sure that your heart is sound. So you expose yourself to the word continually. As we've read before, the truth is in us and it stays in us. We continually say, no matter what happens, let God be magnified. And we speak the word of God that will magnify him. And that sound heart is the life of the flesh. That'll keep your flesh going even to the very end. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, you know, those who leave God out of their life, they can't take hold of this, which is a spiritual law. If you have a sound heart, then you can have the life of the flesh. They don't take hold of that because without Christ you cannot have a sound heart. Now, Christians can let weeds get in, but we must be wary not to allow that to happen. Christians can let hardness get in, but we must be wary not to allow that to happen because we want a sound heart. We want a prospering soul, praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2 touches on a lot of what I've been saying. You know, as believers in Christ, we cannot afford to allow ourselves to be thinking on all the wrong things. And in fact, we should be stirring up our minds in remembrance. We'll look at that scripture in a minute. But I want to look at Romans 12. Well, we'll look at verses 1 and 2 first of all. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So is he talking to believers? Yes, he is. He's talking to brethren. And is it strong language he's using? He says, I beseech you. I beseech you. It means he's strongly urging you. Strongly urging. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. The Bible's very clear. Our bodies have been bought with a price, the blood of Christ. Our spirits have been bought with a price. We have been bought with a price. And our reasonable service is to present ourselves, our bodies, at every member of our body. And what does the Bible call the little member in your body? What's that? The tongue. Yeah, in the book of James it says that. There's a little member you have to present to God as your reasonable service. So every part of you. So we cannot afford to be people that are allowing our legs to take us into the wrong places, our arms to do the wrong thing and our hands to do the wrong thing, or our brains to be taking hold of the wrong thoughts and our tongues to be speaking the wrong things either. So we, or our eyes to be looking at the wrong things, or our ears to be listening to all the wrong things. And so I can see, I believe you're starting to get an idea that Paul here is very strongly saying that you need to present your body as a living sacrifice to God. So remember, we talked about spiritual sacrifices on Sunday, and one of those sacrifices here is showing that you present your body a living sacrifice. You might have to do that daily. And in fact, we should say, I present my body today for you as my reasonable service for you. Notice what it says in verse 2, and it links it with the word and, because your inner man, your soul, which is made up of your mind, will and emotions, does have an effect on your body. So it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is a great warning to us. He's talking to brethren, remember. He's talking to believers. And he's saying, don't be conformed to this world. This world has a lot to say. There are preachers in this world. You see them all the time on television. You see them all the time at their rock concerts and at their sports venues. And they're preaching. They're saying things. They're constantly saying things. Don't think they're not. And they're saying things that are not in line with the Word of God. Okay, and it's very, very important for you to see that, because if you don't, then you'll be thinking, oh, the world's not such a bad place. The Bible says that the whole world lieth in wickedness, and it talks about the god, little g, of this world being Satan. It truly is a wicked, evil place. The Bible says that we're not to be friends of this world, and we're not to be partakers of the world's things, that is, the way it thinks and what it does. And this is very, very important. In other words, it says, be ye separate. Why? Because we are not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. What are we of? Well, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. We're of the kingdom of God. It's a whole different way of doing things and thinking. And that's why it says in verse 2, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you were first born again, your mind wasn't transformed to suddenly think all the biblical ways. You had to be taught, didn't you? You had to take the Word of God into your heart and be thinking about it and take it in and start to learn of God and then obey. And that's where the reasonable service comes into, about obeying the Lord. And then it says, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that brings us back around to 3 John 2, where he says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. That's the will of God. That's the will of God for his people. How can you prove it? How can you prove it? Well, you've got to have your soul prospering. And part of that prospering of the soul is what it says in verse 2, not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There has to be a renewing of your mind. You know, I've been born again since 1979. I know what I was prior to 1979, and I know I've changed because of what the Lord has done and because I've allowed the Word of God into my heart. And I'm sure all of us could have a testimony similar to that. What were we before we were born again? How were we thinking? Were our minds full of godly thoughts, or were we thinking only, we weren't even thinking about eternal things and so on? And we know that if we take hold of the Word of God, put it in our heart, and allow ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that's when our souls can start to prosper. Praise the Lord. Look at 2 Peter 3 verses 1 and 2. 2 Peter 3 verses 1 and 2. We have to stir up ourselves. It's not just going to drop on us. We have to stir up ourselves. And a prospering soul is not just, oh, well, I'll let the Lord prosper my soul. No, there's a responsibility on us. What is that responsibility? We saw it in Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's the first thing. And don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, that's a responsibility on us. That's our responsibility. God's not going to present your body as a living sacrifice. You have to do it, because that's your service as a servant of Christ. Now, we're looking at 2 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. 2 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. And he says, this second epistle, beloved, so he's talking to Christians, isn't he? I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. We have to be people that remember. We remember the good things of what the Lord has done in the past. Don't forget about it. Like the Israelites, they were presented with the promised land, but they forgot all about what the Lord did in Egypt in their deliverance, and they looked at the giants. They should have looked at the victory that God was going to give them. They should have looked at the word which said, go in and defeat the giants, because that's the word that God had given them. But they preferred to concentrate on the problem. Because they did, they ended up dwelling in the wilderness for 40 years. So we have to remember. We can't be like some people who forget the benefits of God. but remember. So stir up your pure minds. Purity must be your pure minds, and your minds have to be meditating and thinking on the right things. In other words, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is impossible if you have the TV on 10 hours a day, for example. That's impossible. But there's people that are like that, and then they wonder why they have problems in their thought life. Verse 2, that ye may be, what's that word there? Mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour. So we see we have to be mindful of God's words. Mindful means your mind is full of God's words. Mindful. Think about that. Mind is full of God's words. The Bible, as I'll repeat it again in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Not poorly, but richly. That means we have a responsibility to make sure that we put the word in. If we don't, then God is going to require that of us. He's going to ask, why? Did you have a Bible? Did you have the time? Did you have the opportunity? And if you say yes to all of that, God's going to hold you responsible for why you didn't allow your souls to be prospering. You see, God wants his people to be blessed and walk in the blessing. They have to be responsible. And they have to, as we see here, have their pure minds stirred up by way of remembrance to be mindful of God's words. Mindful of God's words, praise the Lord. There's another aspect, and I'll touch on this before we finish, and that's in Acts 24, verse 16. If you want to have a prospering soul, this is a very, very important area as well in Acts 24, verse 16. And it's a neglected area, unfortunately. It's a neglected area because there's people that are not listening to the right things that their heart is saying by way of what the Holy Ghost is speaking. And you'll notice what he says. This is Paul speaking in Acts 24, verse 16. And herein do I, what's that word there? Exercise myself. Exercise is an active word. He is doing it. He is doing it. And so we should exercise ourselves. Herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offence toward God and toward men. And this word conscience is very, very important, because a lot of people, they go against their conscience. You know, their heart might smite them and they know what the right thing is to do, but it just seems too difficult to do that. And they go and do the opposite. And if you persist in that, your conscience will get dull. And it can even sear your conscience if you go too far. But a believer has to have a very sensitive conscience. See, your conscience is both positive and negative. It's negative if you're getting into sinful things. It'll say, you're doing the wrong thing, you're doing the wrong thing. You shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing this. The Word of God says this, why are you doing this? But your conscience can be very positive and it'll say you're doing the right thing, you're doing the right thing, you're going the right way, the word of God is confirmed in your life, you're doing the right thing. That's the way you want your conscience to be going, because then it will be, as it says here, have a conscience that is a conscience void of offence toward God and toward men. That tells us that we need to make sure that we don't allow sin, even a little bit, to come in. Now, the devil is out there as an adversary, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he wants to get the wrong things into believers' lives and into their hearts, because he doesn't want you prospering. He doesn't want you in health. He doesn't want your soul prospering. And as I said before, there's many evangelists in the world preaching away constantly. And there's many followers to those preachers, many people listening to them, and absorbing what they say. That's why the gospel has to come to them and the darkness has to be dispelled, because the gospel, the glorious gospel, is light. Praise the Lord. So I pray that tonight you understand a little bit about what it means to have a prospering soul, because a prospering soul will affect your life in the area of prosperity, in the area of health, in the area of victory, and living a life that is free in the Lord, so that you can fulfill what God wants you to do on this earth in a victorious way. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. Thank you for your wonderful word, your truth. And Lord, we take hold of that and we commit ourselves afresh to putting your word into our hearts and to allow our souls to prosper and to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, as our reasonable service to you, Lord. We commit ourselves afresh to that. And Father, I pray that you show us all, and that if there is something that needs to be dealt with, that you show us that it needs to be dealt with. And we will be diligent to repent of that and to get cleansing by the blood of Christ. I thank you, Lord, for the people in Victory Faith Centre. I praise you and thank you for this church. And we praise you, Lord, that there is growth and there is increase. And we see that by faith, and we believe that and take hold of that. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.